So I run a business called Marketing Mentor. The idea I had when I said to myself, I'm never working for anyone again.
Yes.
Okay, what am I going to do? I had a degree in Spanish and I didn't really want to do anything. I didn't know what to do with my Spanish. I lived in New York. I looked around. All my friends were creative, dancers, actors, artists. And I thought to myself, I've created this framework that I call the Simplest Marketing Plan. I've whittled it down to three tools, and I think three tools are all you need.
What are these three tools?
Oh, you want to know what the three? Okay, so the three tools are, do creative professionals really need search engine optimization? That's, I know, a question that my clients and prospects are asking themselves. So my content is about what they're asking about marketing.
What is your take on that?
I hate.
You emphasize that you started to one, say it to yourself, but then started to speak it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about dreams or maybe something you want to pursue, a lot of people maybe get stuck with just,
keeping it internal. To themselves, yeah.
So how did that journey look like for you? And what do you, looking back, how important do you think that was?
Well, it wasn't a dream. It was just a...
Hi, guys. And welcome back to the Humanizing Success Podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here and continually watching and liking, and all of you comment every time. That's why we have a million comments on every video. We don't actually, so you need to get to commenting. But thank you guys so much for watching. Today, we are here once again with James, our newest host here. And with Elise Benin. If you guys have been paying attention, my last name is also Benin. So Lisa's my aunt, and we are lucky to have her here today. She's from Savannah, Georgia, and she'll be going back a little bit later. So just caught her in the nick of time. But yeah, we're lucky to have you, and thanks for being here.
Hi, Mom.
She will be watching this. So the first thing that I like to get into straight away is, when you think about success, what does that mean to you?
Freedom.
That's it?
In a word. Yeah. I mean, and I, what like does that. Freedom mean, right?
Yeah.
Freedom is the opportunity to do exactly what I want, when I want, with whom I want, for as long as I want,
Okay. Until
I want to do something else.
Anything drive you to want to achieve that freedom? Like, at one point, did you consider yourself not free?
Yeah, I would say all growing up, right? You have to do what your parents think you should do. And sometimes they even want you to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. And they communicate that to you. And then you leave home, which I did when I was 18, and you are behaving like someone that doesn't really feel like you. And then it takes years and years and years to figure out, well, then who the heck am I?
Right.
And so that's part of the quest for freedom, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
But more specifically, I was fired from my second job out of college when I was 27. And that's when I decided I was never working for anyone again.
What was that job exactly?
I was the operations manager at a safari company.
Okay.
It was a small Kenyan company.
Safari meaning?
Kenyan safaris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was working in their New York office. And I didn't realize that I wanted to quit.
Okay.
So I just got myself fired.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. I was young.
But it worked out.
It did work out, because that's when I became self-employed. It's been 35 years.
Which brings us to, what do you do now?
What do I do? So I run a business called Marketing Mentor.
Okay.
And there are all different ways that I answer the question, what do I do? Sometimes I say I teach creative professionals how to get clients.
Okay.
Sometimes I say I teach creative professionals how to get better clients with bigger budgets. Which do you prefer?
I like the second one.
Second one
more
better.
More of a punch, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do it in many different ways. I've written several books. I have my own podcast as well. I do speaking. In fact, the reason I'm here in Florida is because I was just doing a speaking engagement in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I do one-on-one coaching. I have a program called the Simplest Marketing Plan, through which I teach groups how to market themselves using really simple strategies.
Amazing. That's a lot of different aspects of the business.
That's right.
Where did it start?
It started, so the idea I had when I said to myself, I'm never working for anyone again.
Yes.
Okay, what am I going to do? I had a degree in Spanish.
Wow.
And I didn't really want to do anything. I didn't know what to do with my Spanish. And so I lived in New York. I looked around. All my friends were creative, mm-hmm. dancers, actors, artists. And I thought to myself, these people are really disorganized. I was a little bit more organized. It was 1988. And I thought, I'm going to be a professional organizer, and I'm going to help people with all their piles of papers. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. I started telling people that's what I was doing. And little by little, I would sit with people in their piles of papers, and at the bottom of everyone's pile, there was always something that had to do with self-promotion and marketing that they were not doing. So I thought, all right, this is the real problem, and the clutter is an obstacle to that problem. So I just started helping people get the word out about their work, and it has evolved over the years into Marketing Mentor.
Amazing.
I think that's awesome that you were able to actually find that pain point
mm-hmm.
amongst all the mess in their lives. And I'm sure it was kind of easy for you to see from an outside perspective, like what other people could be doing better, and then allowing them to actually see your value in getting them to that next step of actually marketing. And was that just marketing themselves as their brand, or did they have products? Who exactly do you focus on? Like, what's your niche?
My niche is solopreneurs for the most part, or mm-hmm. small agency owners marketing a creative service.
Okay.
At this point, they're mostly commercial services as opposed to talents, but it started with my first client was an actor, and I would just help mm-hmm. him put together his resume and photo and send them off to casting agents. We just did mailings together because mm-hmm. that's what he needed help with.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you, in your work, when you, let's say you get a new client, do you have a process that you've already laid out and you kind of fit it to the person, or do you start from the beginning and say, okay, you're not related at all to my other client, let's take a whole different path?
No.
Okay.
No to the latter.
Okay.
Kind of no to the former also. I mean, I've created this framework that mm-hmm. I call the Simplest Marketing Plan over mm-hmm. the years. I've whittled it down to three tools, and I think three tools are all you need.
Okay.
And so I adapt those three tools to each client based on their comfort level, based on their preferences, based on where I see their strengths could be, and also based on the markets that they're going after.
Very interesting.
What are these three tools?
Oh, you want to know what the three are? Okay, so the three tools are high-quality content marketing, so creating content,
okay.
right? Content which is pain point oriented. I like to say that high quality content is content that's about what you know they need, as opposed to content about what you do or what you know.
Sure.
Right? So for me, high quality content is actually the most recent blog post from the most recent podcast is all about SEO, search engine optimization. Do creative professionals really need search engine optimization? That's, I know, a question that my clients and prospects are asking themselves. So my content is about what they're asking about marketing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I mean, it's, first of all, SEO is a huge thing that's promoted on social media, and there's tons of agencies built solely around helping people with SEO. What is your take on that?
I hate SEO.
Interesting.
Really?
And that's what I said to this woman who does SEO for a living, because I wanted to see how she would respond and whether she would defend it or understand my rationale for why I think it doesn't make sense.
It's a bold statement.
And the reason I think it doesn't make sense is because my whole framework is based on you choose who you want to work with and go get them.
Okay.
You don't wait for whoever happens to find you, whoever happens to come along. Because for me, actually, search engine optimization, when people find my website on Google, they're really bad prospects. They can't afford me. They stand me up. They don't know what I do. It's funny. Marketing mentor has become a keyword search phrase. But when I started my business, it wasn't. So now when people search for a marketing mentor, they're not looking for what I do. They're looking for what someone else does. And actually, most of the people who find me that way are new corporate people who have just been promoted to do marketing and they know nothing about marketing. Mm-hmm. So they say, I need a marketing mentor.
Right.
But I don't know anything about marketing in a corporate environment. I'm all about creative professionals.
Yeah. So you're saying, it sounds like what you're saying is SEO only gets you an influx of very unqualified leads
for me.
For you.
Right? Exactly. There are certain situations. I have a client who is a public speaking coach, and she gets all of her best clients and mm-hmm. prospects through search engine optimization.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really just depends on mm-hmm. the service you're offering, how people think about looking for it, and then the quality of the prospects you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. And in your experience, which you obviously have given it the old college try on that one, it sounds mm-hmm. like. But
no, and I get good SEO. Yeah. I just don't value the people who find me that way.
It's not something that you feel the need to crank the volume on because it hasn't actually... You haven't produced. Really seen...
I have a better way to get the clients that I need.
Okay. Yeah.
And content marketing includes speaking. So this event that I was just at, right, all of those people are prospects, and having them see me on a stage, you know, commanding the stage mm-hmm. and speaking with authority and saying things that are like, oh yeah, she's right about that,
yeah.
right? That's a direct connection to people who are going to reach out to me, or I'm going to follow up with them and say, all right, here are the options.
So I have a couple questions that I want to ask relating to what you just said, but okay. I don't want to miss on 2 and 3.
We won't forget about 2 and 3, I promise.
So
yeah, she's a public speaker. She's right. got all of her. She's already bullet pointed down for the next 30 minutes.
I'm glad you'll catch us up.
Yes. That.
So in private, you've said that we had dinner last night, and you said that you were maybe someone who likes to be more on their own, keep to yourself a little bit. So it shocks me that you found a talent in one, public speaking, but it sounds like with your clients, you have to create some sort of relationship to understand who they're reaching out to, what they would be, I guess, trying to tell people. So how have you found that balance with yourself?
So it's not like I don't like people, Jake.
Okay.
I just really value my alone time, okay. but I also love relating to people, especially mm-hmm. around business. And so my one-on-one coaching clients, I really kind of become their business partner and get to know them and the way they think and what they react to and on an emotional level. So I love those kinds of relationships. I just want to make sure I have my alone time.
Yeah, you got to protect your peace.
That's right.
That makes sense. And so public speaking, does that come naturally to you? How have you evolved? Okay.
Definitely not. I remember my first talk that I gave in 1993.
Wow.
I was really nervous. It was to a conference of graphic designers. I had no slides, and I didn't know that graphic designers need something to look at.
Okay.
Hence the name.
Right. And I don't remember. I'm sure I was not very good. But, you know, you're never good at something you're doing for the first time
right.
anyways. So
right.
I've gotten better over the years, I think.
And how long from when you quit your job at 27 to that first public
That was 5
speaking?
Years.
That was 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. And then when did you actually, from the time you fired yourself, actually say, you know what, I need to go into helping people market themselves?
It was really quick, actually. There's a little story behind how it happened. Mm-hmm. I said I was going to be a professional organizer. I said that to myself. I started saying it to other people. Someone I said it to said, oh, you should know about the National Association of Professional Organizers. So
that's
I guess I
perfect.
Didn't make it up. All right. And then at an event, so I started getting involved in the National Association of Professional Organizers. And mm-hmm. that woman who told me that, she was actually writing an article for New York Magazine about things that you could get people to do that you didn't want to do for yourself. And she had a whole section about organizers. Mm-hmm. And that was in September of 1988. So I was fired in April. And in September, this little blurb, one paragraph in New York Magazine came out. And it said, I just looked at it a couple weeks ago, it actually said she helps people market themselves and is kind of like an agent that doesn't take a commission, which is true.
Yeah.
And so I realized it only took me about 6 months, basically, to find that evolution.
Very quick.
And they did it for you, pretty much.
Yeah,
that's
basically,
awesome.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about that, you spoke, you emphasized that you started to, one, say it to yourself, but then started to speak it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
How important do you think, when you're talking about dreams or maybe something you want to pursue, a lot of people maybe get stuck with just, you know, keeping it internal.
To themselves, yeah.
So how did that journey look like for you, and what do you, looking back, how important do you think that was?
Well, it wasn't a dream. It was just an idea at that point. I've never actually had a dream about what I wanted to do.
Okay.
I just listen to the market and go where it tells me to go, mm-hmm. and then make decisions about how I want to go there, essentially.
Okay. So you've always been action-oriented?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm a person who, if you say, can you do this? I'm going to be like, sure, I can do that. And it's funny because a lot of my clients really struggle with a lack of self-confidence or an imagined lack of self-confidence.
Sure.
Because they don't really understand that confidence doesn't come first. Right? Confidence is a byproduct of doing stuff and making mistakes and failure, if you will, mm-hmm. and just learning. Confidence comes from learning. It comes from competence. And I actually have this other acronym. I say, you don't need confidence, you need a CAT. Okay. Want to know what a CAT stands for?
Yeah.
Courage, autonomy, and trust.
Okay.
All right, so courage to, not fearlessness, but courage mm-hmm. to do the thing that needs to be done. Autonomy, which is not independence. It means, basically, I don't need anyone, I need everyone. I don't need that particular prospect to come through. I don't need that particular project. I'm not dependent on any one. I just need lots of irons in the fire because I know that something's going to materialize.
I like that.
And trust in myself, in the universe, in common sense, just trusting that I'll figure it out. And you know what? If it doesn't, who cares?
I like that. Yeah.
We like that.
We like that.
Man, I liked cats already, so now one more cat. I like.
You don't need confidence, you need a cat.
So where did your confidence come from? Were you?
I don't have confidence.
Well, you had cat.
I have a cat. I have courage, autonomy, and trust.
But you don't think that's built you to a level of confidence in yourself?
Whatever or? That is. I have no idea what it is.
Okay, right, so you're saying you can just throw that out the window altogether and just, as long as you're doing those three things.
Yeah. Don't worry about confidence.
Don't worry about it.
I like that because I think, like you were saying, a lot of people have this sort of illusion about confidence. Oh, I just don't have that or something mm-hmm. like that. Where do you think that, why do you think so many people have that thought?
I think people actually are afraid of success and the responsibility that comes along with success.
Mm-hmm. That's
because if what I say I want to do, I actually do and it starts to work, then I'm actually going to have to change. I'm going to have to be different.
Yeah.
And who knows where that's going to take me. And a lot of people are really afraid of like not knowing where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
And but I love that.
Self-sabotage?
Yeah.
Occur when that?
Oh my God.
When they realize
totally.
That they're going to have to change?
All the time.
What does that look like? What does a self-sabotage like client look like to you?
Well, okay. So that let's take that back to the second tool.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
It's amazing.
So the second tool is networking, strategic networking.
Okay.
Right. So we had high quality content marketing. That means you create content, but that's not enough. You have to go find your people in real time, ideally, and in person, if possible.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are very nervous, introverted, reserved, and don't like networking, don't like talking to strangers because they don't know what to say.
It can be scary.
And so the self-sabotage is they just don't go. They procrastinate. They buy a ticket to something and then don't go.
Yeah.
Or they go late, or they leave early, or they sit in the corner, right? There are all different ways we can not do the simple thing that will really bring you into contact with your prospects and maybe lead you to success.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've done that before.
Mm-hmm. We all have.
The way we met, actually, and we've talked about it previously, is both of us at that point, I guess, decided to go against that. And I was here. I just moved here. I thought I would be interested in real estate investing. He is a realtor and has gone to a couple of those before. But, you know, in those things, you're either going to sit in the corner and eat the free food that's there, or you're gonna start to speak to people and mm-hmm. schmooze and network and things like that, which I had never been to an event like that.
While eating the free food.
While eating the free food. You can't forget about that. But so in that story, I put on my name tag, I'm new.
Smart.
I think that was it.
Yeah, it was like, I'm Jake Bennon.
And I'm new. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of people come up to me, including this guy. Mm-hmm. So it sort of forced me, even though I wasn't going to go up to people, it brought people into me. So maybe I had a fear and just tried to overcome mm-hmm. it by that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and it worked.
That's the scene, I guess. Courage. There was a definition I heard of courage recently, and that was kind of what you were talking about. It's not the absence of fearlessness. It's acting even though you are afraid. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I like that, because now I know when I'm afraid to make cold calls. Mm. I hate it. I'd rather be waterboarded, like 100%. But I'm like, okay, it's good that I'm afraid of this. Now I'm going to make myself even more uncomfortable and keep doing it.
And that is actually the third tool, but I don't call it that.
Okay.
I call it targeted outreach. Mm-hmm. So again, you're choosing who you want to work with, who your best prospects are. You've done your research, you looked them up on LinkedIn, you've gone to their website, you know exactly how you can help them. They just don't know you exist yet.
Right.
And so you reach out to them, not just once, several times, to say, I love what you're doing, I'd love to work with you, here's how I think I can help you. And if you're too busy right now, don't worry, because I'm not going anywhere.
So follow up in that.
Follow up, yeah. Case.
Yeah, I mean, and it sounds like you kind of have the right idea of this, because I mean, this whole renaissance of like salesmanship has been going pretty hard recently. Mm-hmm. And I think people have gotten away from the actual definition of like what a salesperson should be doing. And it's mm-hmm. not so much trying to sell them on what you're trying to do so you can help yourself. It's like you really love what you do.
That's right.
And you see the value in it, and you can love your client almost enough to where you're like, look, I would feel bad if you didn't take my service right now, because I can actually really help you, and I think that we could work well together, rather than just me trying to go and shove a product or a service right down somebody's throat. So I think you're the right kind of person for that.
I talk about it as marketing with generosity, because mm-hmm. you're literally generously bringing what you have to offer to the people who could probably use it.
Right.
And then it's just about timing. Are they ready? Can they even focus on it right now? Can they listen to you talk about it? Are they ready to make this decision? And they're usually not. So then you have to be patient and wait and follow up and stay in touch with your content, basically.
How much of your clientele now, after doing it for a couple of years, how much of that is long-term clientele, and how much of it is friends of friends who you've worked with before and I guess word of mouth has spread about maybe your services?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to answer your question. I'm going to answer a slightly different
Please
question.
I mean, you should be in politics too.
I mean, my clients are, a lot of them are long-term.
Okay.
So people I work with year after year, and then we just go deeper and deeper and deeper with their business.
Amazing.
But there are also people who buy the Simplest Marketing Plan and say, oh, this looks good, I get it, I can do it. And then they go off and do it. Those are self-starters. Mm-hmm. And then there are people in the middle who kind of need accountability, and they need a group of people around them to be doing it with. And so I provide that space through my program.
Gotcha.
And so I kind of guide that program, but don't get to know those people quite as well. And then some people will stay for a year, some people will stay for longer. And it's really just, there's a lot of kind of come and go.
So you have something for kind of each person who needs a little more attention or doesn't need more attention
right
in there. Amazing. And this whole podcast, there's been a kind of a podcast craze. A lot of people starting podcasts and things like that. It sounds like you started yours in a time when, one, there wasn't the same technology or maybe, you know, things to help you start that. How did you continue or not get discouraged? You've told me that you don't really keep track of your metrics or things like that. So maybe you were doing it and you can tell me just for the love of it.
I do it because I learn a lot.
Okay. I agree.
A podcast is actually the nexus of the three tools, if you think about it. Because with outreach, you can reach out to someone and say, do you want to be on my show? Mm-hmm. Who would say no to that?
Yeah, true. And then you're giving them publicity.
Right. You give them publicity. You create it, and it's content. And it's an amazing opportunity to network with someone. So I can invite people on my podcast who I want to learn about.
Yeah.
And I can reach out to them. I can create content with it. And the other thing is just about being discouraged. I don't know. I don't get discouraged. I don't know why. Like, that's not part of my vocabulary.
Amazing.
I think because I'm not focused on the result. I'm not focused on the external. Hmm. I do it because I love it. I learn a lot. I'm trying to be better every single time. And also, I'm very disciplined. I don't know. I learned that from my parents, actually. Okay. And I, not from my mother, actually, from my father.
Okay.
Hi, Mom. She knows.
Yeah.
And once I commit to doing something, I just do it. I don't not do it.
Amazing.
And I think that's really important from a marketing point of view, too, because there are so many people out there who say they're going to do something and then forget they said it, or don't do it and hope the other person forgets they said it.
100%.
But I try to think before I talk, and I don't say something I'm going to do if I don't have the intention or know I will have the space and the opportunity to do it.
I mean, in business in general, I think that's such an important thing, and mm-hmm. especially when you're going to go around marketing yourself as something, when you can't back that up or don't follow through, trust is a huge thing.
And I also want to say, I mean, part of that is I say I'm going to do things. I may not do them perfectly. I don't.
Sure.
I'm not actually like perfection. I like mistakes. I like it keeps it human. It keeps it real. And now with AI and all of these bots, like, people are imagining they have to be perfect. And I think the only way to distinguish ourselves from the bots is to not be perfect.
Hmm.
One way, not the
only
way. I like
that. I wanted to talk about the next level. A lot of people are always focused on, you know, how can I grow, improve, get to that next level, whatever that means in their head. Do you feel any of that, or what did that look like for you?
I guess I would start by saying I don't think of it as levels.
Okay.
It's just a continuous flow for me, an evolution.
Okay.
And I think a lot about growth, because I always want to go to the next place or do the next thing or do something I haven't done before. And so right now, and actually that requires focus, right? And part of the problem, I think, for a lot of people is there are a lot of different things they want to do and they can't decide which
Absolutely.
One to do.
Yeah.
So in order to grow, I really do think you need to focus and then do whatever's next later or next, because we don't know how much time we have, but hopefully we have, you certainly, y'all have some time left.
Hope so.
Right?
I hope so.
So don't, you know, like, don't be in a hurry to do everything. Just choose one thing to do well. So that's what I'm doing. And right now, the thing I'm focused on is my Simplest Marketing Plan framework and the program that goes with it. So my one-on-one coaching, I'm backing off that a little bit so that I can devote more time to growing the groups.
Gotcha. So you kind of cater... A lot of the things we've talked about previously are balance. And so obviously there's no, some people, when they think about balance, it's like, okay, equal percentages of everything I'm focused on. Mm-hmm. But for different aspects of your life or different points of your life, you've been more focused on different things.
Projects,
yeah,
let's say, yeah.
Exactly. I think that's really important because, like you said, it's almost impossible to do everything at once.
Or do it well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, your projects are your passion, so... Right?
Or... Well, I don't really like that word.
Okay.
I'm
curious.
Well, passion is a little too emotional.
Huh.
Right? Uh-huh. I think I like to stay neutral and not get too excited about anything, because that conserves my energy. And that way I have more energy and better energy for the things that really require it. I really find, and I'm making a distinction between enthusiasm and passion, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm enthusiastic about what I do. I'm enthusiastic talking about it.
Yep.
But I wouldn't say I'm passionate Wow. about anything.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I like that, actually. I really love that distinction.
Yeah.
What
and
are
actually,
you? No, go.
Let me just give a shout out to my friend, Terry Chespicio, who wrote a book called Unfollow Your Passion, which is along the lines of what I'm talking about also.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's a very, obviously a very controversial topic, especially at the moment. I feel like everyone's like, or a lot of the advice out there is find what you love, and, you know, there's almost this idea, or at least in my head, that when you find that thing, it's always going to be exciting, and it's, you know, it's always going to be this amazing thing. And
forever and ever and ever.
But like you were talking about, I don't think we have the capacity for that.
And it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So, it really doesn't. Mean, being enthusiastic about you do, or about what you do is one thing, and then you're saying that you should conserve your passion for...
Conserve my energy?
Your energy for what?
To implement, to think clearly, to... I don't know, just... I find that when people are too excited, they're just all over the place. And that's a dispersion of energy, like it's a waste of energy. And if I conserve it, then it's more focused and more effective, I find.
Is this something that you've sat down and thought about for a long time, or you just have kind of done that naturally?
No, I've learned over the years, you know, through my own teachers, through my own process, through working with clients, like, oh, this works, that doesn't work. Yeah. I'm not doing that anymore, that doesn't work.
And then how long until you decide it's not going to work? Like, I guess a better way to ask that question would be how much have you tried something before you totally throw it to the curb?
It depends, right? If it's a big project, I will give it time, especially if it's something I believe in and really know the market needs. It's just that the market doesn't know it yet. I will definitely give that time and then experiment with all different ways, like, maybe I should say it this way. Maybe I should approach it this way. Maybe I have to start with this, right? Like, there's a lot of experimentation that happens with how to implement it. But I don't throw a big idea away without giving it enough of a chance. And I do see a lot of people doing that, actually. Oh, that didn't work. They never called me back.
Right,
or
1 week later.
Yeah, exactly. No, I will give it time. And I mean, even the simplest marketing plan, it took me, I don't know, 5 years to figure out the best 14 pages of the document. For the first 4 years, it was different things. And then I was like, okay, no, this is what it needs to be now. Now I know.
Did you put that out and then change things and put it out again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, every year I do a new one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. What would you say is your favorite thing about your current profession?
I really think it is the freedom that I have to do what I want to do and work with the people that I want to work with. And what that really means is saying no to the people I don't want to work with or doing the things I don't want to do, right? Like, that's, to me, that's the best part of freedom, is what you don't have to do.
True.
Not what I do get to do.
Did you learn that by saying yes to the wrong person or maybe people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Before you started the business or even after?
No, after. Okay. All the time, right? Yeah. There's always something. Like, I'm just thinking at the moment of people who are just talkers, talkers, right? And then there's no space for me.
Right.
And so I can't help someone who won't stop talking.
And so obviously you're talking about maybe some clients that you've had that it turns out, you know, maybe this wasn't the best fit. Do you find it difficult to say no to them, or even once you've started? No? Okay.
Sorry.
No, you're in the driver's seat now.
Sorry, this isn't working. I mean, on the opposite side, there are people who expect me to do all the talking. Right? You're the expert. Tell me what to do. All right, well, I'm going to have to know a little bit about you first. Yeah. So you talk to me, and some people don't want to do that. So,
yeah,
sorry,
that's
not going
to
work.
That, yeah. When you were talking about things that you don't want to do necessarily, is there any room for you to delegate tasks like that? Because from my understanding, it seems like you're kind of a one-man band here.
I'm not.
Okay.
Actually, I have a team.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. I have a writer who does a lot of my writing, actually.
Okay.
And writes in my voice, essentially. I have a sound guy who does my podcast.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I just record it and then I send it over to him.
On the premise? Or are you?
No,
this
no.
Is all...
Everyone's virtual.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, everyone's remote. And then I have a digital marketer. Mm-hmm. Hi, Tomas. He's going to watch because he watches everything.
Okay, fair.
Hey, Tomas.
He's in Sweden.
Very cool.
And he's in charge of strategizing all of my campaigns to sell the simplest marketing plan.
How long did it take you to start to expand to different or delegate, I guess?
It's really just very recent in the last year or two.
What prompted that, if it was more recent?
Yeah. I know there was something that happened. I can't remember what it was, actually, but something shifted. I was like, no, I think I need to do this differently now.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and it was a gradual evolution. I don't think there was any one thing that happened. I just thought, no, this is the direction, so I need help. And actually, you know what it was? I think it was Tomas. I mean, I've known him for many years, but I started to realize he could really help me a lot more. And when you find someone really good, you don't want to let them go. You have to find work for them. So I said, it was basically his presence, I think, that made me say, all right, let's move in this direction and you do everything.
Mm-hmm. And do you have plans for the future to have that kind of be the direction of your role in the company?
Yeah.
Where you can remove yourself and still have this be a fully functional...
I don't imagine removing myself.
Not completely. I mean, no. Like obviously you still would do your public speaking events and your networking, but when it comes to working like one-on-one with clients, you mentioned wanting to back off.
I love the one-on-one work. I just don't want to do as much of it. I want to be pickier about who I do it with.
Got it.
But I really, what I want to do, the thing I value most in my work is the deepening of the ideas. And I want to spend my time thinking about, like, well, what is getting in the way for people? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they doing their outreach? What can I do or how can I say it differently that will make them say, oh, of course I'm going to do it? Mm-hmm. Or what kind of space can I create? So I feel like that's my job, is to just keep deepening the ideas, not necessarily coming up with new ideas, mm-hmm. but better ideas, and then he can be responsible for getting them out there.
Yeah, so you found your wheelhouse, mm-hmm. and now you've built a team around you to where you can focus exclusively on what you're best at and what kind of you're more enthusiastic about.
Yes, for now, and then that could change.
Okay. Have you found it, or I guess are you someone who feels they need to be in control of more things, or have you found it easy to delegate, I guess is the question.
Good question.
Are you asking if I'm a control freak?
Yes.
That's how that. I would have worded it.
I heard that. I would say I have been a control freak,
sure.
and that's partially why it was just me for so long. Mm-hmm. But I've changed.
As we do.
Yes. And grown. And I've gotten, I don't know, just much looser.
Okay.
And I realized that nothing really matters. Truthfully. And so, if he wants to do it that way, that's fine.
Okay.
And so I will often say, okay, yeah, go ahead. That's fine. Whatever you think is fine.
Whereas
I mean, if
before,
I have an
maybe.
Opinion, I'll say, no, we're doing it this way. And I always have the last say. But I let them do. I mean, I've hired them because they are smart.
Right.
And I like the way they think. So I want them to do their best work.
That was actually a quote by Steve Jobs, I think.
Really?
He said, we don't hire smart people to tell them what to do. We hire them so that they could tell us what to do.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so you've been talking a lot about maybe some self-reflecting that you do or thinking about different things in a deep way. Do you do any journaling or anything to facilitate that in your daily life?
Well, I mean, I did keep a journal for, I don't know, 50 years.
Wow.
Yeah, starting when I was like 14.
It's longer than my journal.
I started when I was 14, and I did stop when I was probably 50. What is that, 65? No, that wouldn't make sense. I'm not 65.
Not
big journal.
Yeah. No, I stopped at least 10 years ago.
Okay.
Because
was that a conscious decision?
Yeah, it was a conscious. I just felt like I don't need to write anything down anymore. Hmm. Like it's all comes internal.
You want to get that out? Or well, you are an author, it's, so
right. I mean, it's not like the ideas don't come out. Uh-huh. They just don't need to be in that raw form.
They're more condensed.
Yeah.
And publishable, right? Or
yeah, I mean, I actually don't find writing to be the best medium for me anymore to figure out what I think. I like to talk, and that's why I love the podcast, and that's why I don't stop doing the podcast, because I learn a lot about what I'm thinking, as well as, and I'm best when I'm riffing off of or responding to other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I say something, and then I actually have a writer who works with me who will just take a transcription and then a video and then my notes and put it all together into an article. Do you think AI could do that?
I don't think it's far off if it can't. But right. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I have this one really good person who I give all that material to, and I say, just make something out of that, knowing what you know about how I think.
So I think that's the difference with AI. I think if I were to give something to AI, it would come back and I would have to still then, go in and make changes. But if I were to give it to a person, I almost feel like I could just let it go. And however it comes out, it's going to be unique in their way.
Right.
Versus AI is going to come back and almost give me a robotic.
Right.
And maybe that'll change.
Maybe.
But
we don't know.
I think do
that's
value
more the interactions it has had with you.
Right.
I mean, like,
maybe, yeah.
I don't know very much about AI, but I imagine it learns more through continued interactions.
Supposedly,
to learn how you actually operate and think. And I think, I don't know, maybe if you spend enough time with just like a person, like if we spend enough time together, I would probably be a good option to where you could send me all your stuff and then I could turn it into something based on how you think, but it would always have my bias on there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas to an AI could probably do the same thing, but it would only have your...
True. And we briefly talked about this last night. We could have a whole different conversation about it. But at that point, it's like how much... Am I really just telling AI, or am I telling the whole...
Right. Who else will hear?
Right. The whole internet about that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you as sort of a final question.
All right.
So far throughout your career, your lifetime, what are you most proud of?
I would say just the growth of myself from where I came from. And because I was a scared little girl for a long time. And over the years, I've been able to let go of that. And I think that is the best part of my life.
Become the cat,
exactly. Become who I am, to be constantly figuring out and inventing myself differently. Like, it's a never-ending process.
It's funny because that's the majority of the answers that I've gotten to that question, is the growth that I've been able to achieve and the person that I've become today. Which makes sense. I feel like at the end of the day, these maybe material things that you've grown, this business, this medal you won, you know, they don't matter so much in the end. It's more kind of the person you are and the people you can touch.
Yeah.
Not physically.
and physically.
But so that's it almost.
All right.
Except for the word association. I wrote some things down, but if you... He likes to riff.
All right.
Off of it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but I like to hear what he has to say off the top of his mind, because it's usually fairly interesting.
All right.
So I'm going to... You understand how it works?
I do.
Okay, perfect. So I'm just going to say the word, and you go for it.
All right.
Podcast.
Sound.
Books.
Reading.
Banana.
There we go.
Squishy.
Squishy.
Depending. Solid.
On. Yeah. Marketing.
Mentor.
Obstacles.
Self-imposed.
I like that. Travel.
Anywhere.
And success.
Freedom.
Amazing.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jake.
And I'm sure there is plenty more to be talked about, to be spoken about. And yes. Maybe I'll come and visit and we'll do something else.
That would be lovely.
Incredible.
Does she want to tell us or the audience where we could find her podcast?
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, the hub of everything I have is on marketing-mentor.com.
Okay.
So the podcast is there. The books are there. My quick tips are there. The simplest marketing plan is there.
Incredible. So we'll have that in the links below. And any other information that you tell me we should have, we'll have down there.
Okay.
But thank you so much for being here. And thank you guys for watching. And if you wouldn't mind, we would love if you could hit that subscribe, that like button. If you're hearing it on her channel, give it a follow as well. And yeah, we appreciate you guys being here. Thanks, Jen.
Bye, Mom.
And the last thing I'd like to say is stay delusional, because success comes when you least expect it.
Mm-hmm.